Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to In Conversation With, the podcast series that delves into the world of financial services and brings you face-to-face with some of the most notable figures in the industry. Listen as we discuss topics that are currently facing the industry and hear from visionary CEOs to disruptive innovators as we bring you a diverse array of voices and perspectives. We'll explore the challenges they faced, the lessons they've learned, and the insights they have to share about the ever-evolving landscape of financial services. Hello and welcome to In Conversation With. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Ben Goss, CEO at Dynamic Planner. Thank you for joining me today, Ben.
Well, thanks for having me, Kimberly.
Yeah, great. So if you could give us an introduction into yourself and how you kind of got started in the industry.
Sure. So I'm Ben Goss, I'm CEO. Mm-hmm. One of the founders of Dynamic Planner. If you go all the way back, I actually got a summer job at an asset management firm in the summer of 1987.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was studying environmental science and geography at university,
okay.
Nothing to do with finances.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine said, do you want to come and work for the summer at an asset manager, now a very big asset manager, actually? And basically what happened was we'd go in every morning and we would be given a script to read.
Mm-hmm.
And the asset manager would put adverts in the Sunday papers and on the tubes, and people would call up and say, what should I invest in? And basically on the script, we would read things like, well, Far East Asian companies is doing X, UK smaller companies is doing Y, and people would send their checks in.
Wow.
Now, yeah, wow, this was a long time ago. And, you know, very definitely the bad old days from an industry point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly what happened later in 1987, Black Monday, crash, stock market ultimately fell by 40%, and a lot of those mm-hmm. people who were actually retirees in many cases lost a lot of money. And I that experience sort of stayed with me as I sort of graduated and then got a job. My first job was as an analyst programmer, and then I moved into strategy consulting and in financial services, actually. And I always felt that actually the playing field wasn't level, that technology could help level the playing field in terms of helping the end customer understand the nature of the risks that they faced and
mm-hmm.
the nature of investments that they might make to help them essentially fund the future life that they want to take at a risk that was right for them. And when the internet came along, I in the mid 90s, I'd studied in the US for a bit, again learned a bit more about development there, but it hit the US earlier, and by the mm-hmm. time I hit the UK, I thought actually this could be an extraordinary shift, if you like, in the way in which financial advice is given and financial products are matched with client need. And I left my job and was very certain, as you can be in your 20s, that mm-hmm. the world would be very different after the internet, and so it was. That business was successful in its own right, but then we sold it and founded Dynamic Planner. Really, I learned a couple of things from that experience. The first really was that even though people were very happy to get advice online, it was an online advice business,
mm-hmm.
though you would call it a robo, and we were advising over 1,000 people a day back in 2000, a long time ago, but still mm-hmm. a lot of people. Most of those people either were self-directed anyway,
mm-hmm.
were happy to go off to Hargreaves Lansdown or Interactive Investor, as it was, and trade themselves and would have been happy anyway. Or they were going to take that information to their financial advisor. And I remember being there sort of week in, week out, looking at the emails that we were getting, talking about, well, my financial advisor says this, my financial advisor said that. And when it came to Dynamic Planner, I thought, you know what, if we're going to make the biggest impact that we can, then the way to do that is to enable financial advisors and financial advice firms with the technology that they need in order to help match clients with suitable portfolios and engage people in their financial planning. And that's what we did. And that's how we got started.
Wow. Quite a journey, but a very interesting one for sure. And kind of going back to that point about, I guess, leveling the playing field. We're going to be talking about AI in this episode in particular. So I wanted to start off by asking you, from your experience and what you've seen, what distinguishes AI from automation and other technologies that are already in financial advice?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And obviously AI means all sorts of things to all sorts of people. But the way I think about it is really augmented intelligence. And I think for our industry, this is the way to think about it. It's about augmenting the intelligence that's there already. And as you rightly say, Kimberly, technology already allows us to automate things. It allows us essentially to build both deterministic models. So if this, then that, X times Y equals Z. And, you know, that kind of mathematics has been around for a long time and built into everything from spreadsheets to kind of linear point of sale systems. Beyond that, of course, as an industry, probably for the last 15 years, we've been using probabilistic modeling. Which looks at, and if you probably haven't had a chance to see the FCA's paper this morning on cash flow modelling and its expectation, or essentially pointing to the weakness of kind of many deterministic models, which basically say, you know, your investments will rise at 3% a year or 3.5% a year. They won't. We know they won't. And that kind of deterministic modelling, as it were, can be quite misleading, is essentially what they're saying. So that sort of math has been with us for a while. Probabilistic modeling, which is something that we pioneered, is all about talking to clients about the range of possibilities that they might see, for example, and dealing with the uncertainty that the future, both future lives and future of investment markets. But what AI is essentially doing is adding another layer, which begins to look like the kind of processing that humans we do quite naturally, and adding different layers of analysis in order to tackle more complex problems. So rather than an advisor necessarily saying, okay, I'm going to look at all of the probabilities in a client's life, you know, can a system look at the different probabilities and analyze them in different ways? And then on top of that, layer a level of judgment. And I think that's where we're beginning to see augmented intelligence, ways of looking at problems that aren't just purely simple maths, but essentially layering different levels of calculation, one on top of another.
Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you had any examples that you've seen of how AI is being used within financial advice currently or can be used in the future?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're seeing some interesting use cases, both in our company and elsewhere. And I think it's important to sort of take a step back and you know, it's very easy to jump to the sort of robot versus machine, artificial intelligence versus human intelligence. But actually, opportunity and certainly the challenges don't lie there. in my opinion. They're much more prosaic, much more mundane. So if you think about an advice business, it's got to do a number of things, and we can pick out some examples of what we're seeing there. But you know, you've got to attract clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be through some form of marketing. There are a lot of AI models out there that are becoming more and more sophisticated around targeting customer acquisition with models which are essentially targeting particular individuals and curating messages, personalizing or even hyper-personalizing content for individuals, not giving advice, but saying, well, you know, you're a person that looks like this, therefore you're likely to respond to this kind of message. Social media have been building these kind of models for, you know, over 20 years now. And that kind of artificial intelligence is already being built into Salesforce, HubSpot. Those kind of tools are already giving advice firms the power to be able to use AI in their client acquisition and marketing process. So that's the first step. I think when it comes to so if we go down further down the value chain, you then need to think about onboarding clients. A good number of advisors I've spoken to now are using technologies like Otter AI, where they will have a call with, you might use it yourself, so you're having a call with a client. Essentially, at the end of it, you get a transcript which says, this is what we talked about. And there are more advanced forms of that kind of technology, which are, for example, picking out client objectives. And one of the most powerful things about AI is the ability to pull in a whole series of pieces of information about, in the case of financial advice, about the client, about the investments, about what they hold, about their future, for their aims, their ambitions, about risk, around sustainability. The challenge is getting that data. And some of that data, particularly the soft facts, which is, you know, particularly in an area, in an era, I should say, of consumer duty, it's the soft facts. What is it that the client really wants? What are the outcomes that they're looking for? And what is the journey that they're willing to go on? The ability to use AI in those conversations to try and synthesize the conversation that was had is for sure a time saver. Is it going to leap to having the conversation with the client? I don't think so, not anytime soon. But can it, you know, do some of the heavy lifting in terms of distilling a conversation, removing the time it takes to write up a conversation and giving you a fast start? Absolutely. You know, we use it in our own business for note-taking, conversations with clients, prepping for meetings, and I know a number of our clients use it in that way. So I think if you think about acquiring clients, you think about onboarding clients, the advice process itself is clearly one where models are more and more frequently used. And again, if I go back to this morning's paper, the FCA expects models to be used in retirement planning. Retirement is uncertain. Future life is uncertain. And, you know, when we started the business, I remember advisors saying, you know, I've got a pen and I've got the back of the envelope and I'll talk to my client about what, well, you know, that those that's decades old now, that thinking. The idea now, with the power of technology, that you can talk to client about the range of reasonable returns that they might see, the range of reasonable risks that they might encounter, and how to plan for those risks is absolutely there today for advisors, and you know, many, not enough, because otherwise the FCA wouldn't have issued the paper they did this morning, but many advisors and firms are using risk-based modelling in their cash flow analysis to help clients understand that uncertainty. In a Dynamic Planner, we layer another level of analysis on top of that, which we have automated, which show you the different strategies that you might take. So automating the strategies that you might take, having looked at the different level of uncertainty. We don't call that AI, that is definitely augmented analysis, but it is at that point putting the analysis in front of the advisor so that they can discuss with the client what the how they feel in terms of the outcomes that they're looking for and the nature of the journey and the trade-offs that they're willing to take. And I think, Kimberly, at this point, it's worth just talking about what AI can't do.
Right.
And in my opinion, won't do. And that is that peculiarly human thing, the thing that you and I are doing now, which is having a conversation.
Yeah.
And really unpicking what it is that the other person is thinking and feeling, and asking good questions, listening to the answers. And when that is done face to face and when it's done in person, that is because finance is at the heart of a successful, happy life is getting money right. And these things are intensely personal. And so, you know, certainly our view of the opportunity that technology and now AI bring is to make sure that the human aspect is as that advisors can spend as much time on the human aspect as possible, and that the technology can do the heavy lifting, whether that is the aggregation of data, and whether that is whether that is the analysis, leaving the advisor to use their expertise. So, you know, there are definitely models that are, so if you think about the planning and advice process, the then ability to use generative AI, so this is all about creating content, to create content in the downstream advice process is absolutely something that we're now very excited and interested in. So, we recently launched an app which is called Tram, and Tram uses data about the client, uses data about their objectives and their circumstances to provide content that is engaging to the client. So if you were to say, well, you know what, I want to save for
my first home.
There you go. I want to save for my first home. I want to get a mortgage deposit of 10k down, and I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Then Tram is able to understand what those objectives are. It's able to understand. We've trained the engine to understand the kind of broad circumstances, and to be able to provide content that is engaging and interesting to you, not to make recommendations, not to recommend one strategy over another, but to provide interesting content. So what are the different types of mortgages, for example? What areas of the country? It knows where you are broadly in the country. So if you southeast of England, you know, where are the best places to live in the southeast of England for a first time home buyer?
Right.
We can see that AI today has the ability to get to understand clients' needs and to be able to provide engaging content around those needs, without needing to step into the advice process itself. And I think that is valuable. There's a lot of research that has been done clearly that shows that all demographics, young and old, consume social media, consume video content, as well as formal advice, right? And so what TRAM is about is enabling advisors to provide that kind of curated content, high quality content, not clickbait, in a way that educate the client that is relevant to them. So we're very excited about the ability to scale advice and support to clients without having to have the kind of industry behind that sort of level of personalization that you might have to have otherwise. So we're very excited about that. We have definitely seen examples of AI being used to generate content as part of the formal advice process. We're sort of interested in that and sort of watching that how that developed. And there've been a couple of firms that have been in the press saying, you know, we're generating suitability letters with AI. We're right now, you know, if you think about the sort of Achilles heel of the industry right now, it is definitely ongoing servicing of an investment. Right, that process takes 6 or 7 hours traditionally. You have to pull the client's file together, you have to get all the evaluations, all the performance, you have to get the client up to update their circumstances, pulling all of that together, building a coherent file, looking at whether their current investments are suitable or otherwise and what needs to happen. That takes 6 or 7 hours and often involves 3 or 4 plus different systems. We've got that down to, on average, 80% of our users are from over 2,300 firms are completing that process in 35 minutes or less. And so we're using very smart technology, very smart probabilistic algorithms to address that challenge without going and relying on the application of additional judgment. And that we don't think that's needed right now. What we believe is needed right now is essentially the ability for firms to set their propositions up based on target markets and to use technology to essentially make sure that the right type of client is given the right type of advice. And we can see that technology, using integrating target markets into technology, has had a profound effect on the speed and the precision of which that kind of the review and the ensuing advice can be delivered. So definitely seen examples of it, not entirely sure how much value it's adding right now in the regulated environment, and we have tackled that problem in a different way. Where we definitely see real value on an ongoing basis, as I said, through TRAM and the ability to deliver an app and to deliver content on an ongoing basis that engages the client. So if I think about kind of end to end, those are different use cases and what we're seeing in the market. And one other one, which is probably worth mentioning, is the use of robotic process automation, which is all about getting data into the advice process and out as well. And we're beginning to see firms use that with Dynamic Planner to be able to essentially train robots to look for the right data, get that into the planner and into the planning process. Again, it's augmenting the advice process and making it much more efficient.
Yeah. And I also wonder, with everything that you've kind of touched on and gone into, what ethical considerations did you have, like when you were setting up something like TRAM using AI? I'm sure there are quite a lot of considerations that you have to take in, whether they be regulatory or just on a human moral perspective as well. What has that process been like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you're quite right, and I think When we started, we didn't. I don't think we realized how many considerations there are.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are regulatory considerations. And it was always very clear that we were not going to look to build a model that exercised judgment based mm-hmm. on probabilities to go anywhere close to recommendations. Our purpose as a company is to help our clients engage with their clients around their financial goals and their finances and their financial plan. And we wanted to create a model that delivered engaging content that was relevant to the individual. And we can see that being able to travel a long, long way and have a big, big impact in the industry without delivering advice. I think if there is a change in regulation with the new advice guidance boundary that is being contemplated, I think AI would have a big impact there, potentially in the kind of people like you scenario, people like you, this find me people like this and find a way to talk to them. I think that could be very powerful. But with regulation as it is today, that isn't something that we were very clear that we wanted to steer clear of that. But generative AI is interesting in so far as getting a consistent answer requires a lot of training and a lot of data.
And
we held and still hold, we have an editorial board, weekly meetings, looking at what data, the first use case for Tram was to build a weekly news digest from news across the internet that might be relevant to a client. So client wants to buy their first home, what would be relevant? And you are quite right, Kimberly, that the nature, even if you say, right, so okay, we don't want anything that is going to recommend one strategy over another. We don't want anything that's going to recommend a particular product. We don't want product providers. We don't want, even then, we don't want clickbait. And you have to be very precise about what is or isn't clickbait, right?
Right, yeah.
And it is that tuning process is still ongoing. We're very excited in terms of the ability to deliver personalized content to individual personas, but it takes a lot of work. And you're quite right. There are regulatory ethical concerns. Absolutely. You know, it would entirely be possible. And I think, you know, one of the things the FCA has said that they are concerned about is bad actors using this technology to make recommendations to clients at scale when they're unregulated to do so. And you know, the ability to do that now is really very is out there. So yes, it continues to be a lot of work. We've got three lines of defense: the editorial board that I mentioned, we're using an external compliance consultancy, and then firms themselves, we've built content management and approval process into Dynamic Planner. So the firms themselves need to approve the content before it heads out. But we can see over time how that process will become more and more informed as we get more and more data. We've got about a billion data items in Dynamic Planner's data lake now, and that has helped us really refine these algorithms. But it's definitely a continuing work in progress.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it'll be evolving and we'll maybe catch up on more of that in the future. But I wanted to touch on retirement planning, which you talked about earlier. And I wondered what role AI could play in that and in helping clients kind of plan for that comfortable retirement that's also secure as well.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, retirement planning is for many people, the most complex piece of planning that they're ever going to engage in, right? Because their ability to earn income is going to reduce, and risks like health risks come to the fore. The expenditure patterns will change, and we live in an uncertain world. And you of course need to layer on top of that all of the investment market risks as well. So it's a complicated picture. And I think that the first thing to say again is that the very old way of doing this, say, you know, pre 2015, George Osborne pension freedoms, prior to that, buy an annuity. It was really very straightforward. Straightforward, but perhaps the financial answer was more so. Over the last decade, we've seen the growth of drawdown in particular, and the use of risk-based investing, which is a much more appropriate for a whole set of reasons for many clients much of the time. We've obviously also seen the rise in interest rates and therefore the rise of annuity rates. And for some people, some of the time, for some of their portfolio, annuities represent a lot better value today than they did 5 years ago. But, that produces quite a complex picture if you're a client. So, but risk-based investing is really needed because people are living longer. So if I retire, 65, I will still be planning to live 20, 30, perhaps even 40 years. And to do that, you need to be able to take risk in order to get the kind of returns that the client needs to be able to take risk in order to get the kind of returns to deliver what you described as absolutely nirvana, which is a comfortable retirement. There are lots of different ways of achieving that, of course, which range from more secure investing to greater risk. But I think that there are two halves to that equation. One absolutely is, what are you investing in? And we'll come to the AI point in a moment. And the other, of course, is, what is it that you want to do with your life? What is it that you want to do with your life and retirement? I've got some I'm at home today, and I've got some great friends that live around the corner. Before Christmas, we had a conversation. They're a little bit older than I am, about 10 years older, and they were considering retiring. And my friend said to me, you know, actually, I really want to. She's a lawyer, and I've been put up for partner in law firm, and she's a fascinating lady, actually. She retrained to become a lawyer in her 50s, and
wow,
forward to being a partner, and
it's never too late.
And absolutely, and her husband's a sort of been very successful exec in his own career, a little bit older than her. And anyway, we were talking about what retirement meant for them, and I said, you know, have you got a financial advisor? Oh no, why do we need one of those? I said, well, the thing is, and the kind of crux of this conversation was, we need to work a few more years. I need to make partner in order to fund the life that I want, that we want. I said, that's really interesting, because I bet if you went to see a financial planner, you might find that actually you could fund that life now. You know, they like sailing, for example. Buy a smaller yacht. You don't have to buy the massive last week, I met them and I said, yeah, you know what? We've seen a financial planner and we are going to retire, and we're going to do it now. And in fact, they went to India yesterday to start their retirement.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And I think it comes back to, you know, these are two very, very intelligent, thoughtful people who've clearly saved through their professional life, but it took actually only one conversation with a financial planner to sit and say, well, look, what is it you want? And when you talk about a secure and comfortable retirement, Kimberly, that means all sorts of things to all sorts of people, and the power of the financial planner or the advisor relationship is to say, okay, talk to me about what it is that you want. What do you actually need to do?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do? And if you could really shoot the lights out, what is it that you would really like to do? And that, you know, we're all mortal. If you haven't done it, and you were to shuffle off this mortal coil, what would you regret?
Yeah.
And those kind of conversations are peculiarly human conversations.
Mm.
Me, you know, AI is you will be able to do many things, but the first thing is all about how do you free up skilled, professional, caring advisors to have those kind of conversations? Mm. How do you make sure that the maths is done, right? It's done right first time, that the maths shows the probability of outcomes, the range of risk-based returns, you know, that you might see, that we move away from this kind of, well, your investments are going to grow at 3% a year. They're not. We've mm-hmm. known they're not for decades. So why are you telling a client that they should rest assured that their investments are going to grow at 3% when you know they're not?
Yeah.
So, you know, technology can do a lot to help clients engage with their potential futures from mm-hmm. a standpoint, and then to think about and then to show them the results of choices, judgments that they make with their advisors. And I think around that there's the kind of whole infrastructure of advice about how do you get letters out, how do you engage with clients, how do you provide interesting content to them. But for me, it's all about clearing a space for advisors to have the really powerful conversations that only humans can have.
That's so true. When you were talking about that retirement story, it made me think of this. I think it was a article or a post or something that I saw where I think they're an American couple, and I doubt they actually saw a financial advisor, but they decided to use all their retirement funds instead of getting like setting up in a retirement village or something like that. They just decided to go on endless cruises.
Yeah.
Until their life comes to an end, essentially, which I don't know if I could stand being on a boat that much. I know that you get off occasionally, but it just, to me personally, sounds like a nightmare.
This is a really interesting point, right? So, in this couple's case, mm-hmm. the wife is a bit like you. She's not a big fan of boats. It's the husband who is the boater. So, you know, what does the financial planner say? Okay, well, look, tell you what, you could buy a boat, but why don't you go on a boating holiday to start with and see how you like it?
Yeah.
Why don't you rent a boat out of a Mediterranean port in Spain for a month and see how you like it?
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, while technology absolutely can make kind of suggestions and talk to you about the price of these things and whether it is affordable in the grand scheme of things, actually the judgment and the sort of questioning and the thinking around options is a peculiarly human thing, that I think is absolutely the kind of core role of an advisor. And then to say, okay, how do we fund this? And funding might be buying the boat, it might be renting the boat. For many people, you know, it might be more of a holiday a couple of times a year or an extended holiday. But how do you fund that and build that into the financial plan? That I think is again comes back to what the human can do. Augmenting the insight into the plan, if, you know, moving away from the kind of if then do this, I think the use of probabilistic models, which again will only gain further traction after today, is just critical in trying to help people see the range of potential outcomes. And I think this is key. You know, the range of, you know, nobody knows the future. And there is a balance to be struck between over-optimistic optimism. You know, if we go back to my experience in the 80s, where you know, you were allowed to say, well, these things have grown by 19% a year for the last year. So you could reasonably, you know, I've plastered 19% returns over my advert. Client student is going to keep going at that rate. There's a balance to be struck between over-optimism, over-pessimism. So, you know, extreme, the painting of risks in an extreme way, which means the client doesn't feel ever comfortable investing. And again, using technology to show what a reasonable range of returns might be, a reasonable range of risks might be, and having and building a retirement planning scenario there, which takes into account the kind of specific risks that you face. You know, sequence of returns risk is a big one. It's all around when might you see, if you see a series of poor markets early in your retirement, that can have an impact. Later on, you might run out of money sooner, in essence. And therefore, if you are fully invested and drawing down and needing to keep drawing down, what product are you in? You know, there are absolutely, there is intelligence that we have and can build into models that help understand what those particular strategies look like. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is to engage the client in their future, which has two sides. What do you want to do and how are you going to fund it? And making that an easier job for the advisor with the client, a more engaging job for both parties. And then let the tech do the hard work in terms of implementing and administering that those recommendations.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense to me. And I'm going to wrap this up because I think we could talk about this endlessly. Sure. And I'm sure we'll pick up on this topic at some point because it's ever evolving, as you've pointed out. But thank you so much for speaking with me today, Ben.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been great to talk.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.